I tell Amanda my genius plan to be less materialistic in this episode of The Catholic Money Show. All right, so what do you think of that?
Sounds like a good plan. Sounds like something I've been trying to get you to create for maybe 12 years.
So we thought to have an episode about materialism.
Mm-hmm. And overcoming materialism.
Yes.
And just why it's so important to do it and how toxic it really can be, not only to our happiness, but especially to our soul, to our spiritual life.
Yes.
Saints talk about this all the time. And not that having stuff is always a bad thing.
No.
But detachment.
Yes.
Detachment is really key.
Yes.
It's kind of a necessary part of the gospel. We don't get to skip it.
And so I was tasked with preparing a few ideas because out of the two of us, I'm definitely the one who likes stuff.
Yeah, your feet are firmly grounded on
things.
Earth.
Hey! We'll see about that.
I didn't mean that in a bad way.
You didn't.
You also enjoy things much more.
Yes.
And, you know, I'm off in a cloud half the time, not firmly grounded. And so I also, it has a negative of, okay, I am detached, but I also don't take care of things very well.
Yeah.
I don't take care of things very well. And I don't appreciate things as much as I ought to. So there's good and bad to both sides of that.
So I'm looking this up. And today on the episode, we are going to be talking, I'd say, about maybe what you would call the modern day or the popular idea of materialism instead of maybe the more, I don't know what you call it, classical, more philosophical materialism, which is about like there is only things and stuff. The spiritual doesn't really exist. That's not what we're talking about here today. Okay. We're talking about stuff. I like things. Give me some stuff. That's what we're talking about here today. This ongoing consumeristic society in which we find ourselves in. And because we're living in it, it's shaping us.
Yep.
Whether we want it to or not.
And I know not everybody listening to the Catholic Money Show is in, you know, the United States of America. Mm-hmm. But I would say this trend of consumeristic materialism has been something that certainly not a great trait, but was started probably here.
I think it's
and then just kind of
might be one of our
everywhere.
Biggest exports.
a terrible export. Just because there's so many dangers in materialism.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, you know, it's really been quite the shift over the last 100 years. You know, we have our grandparents' generation that grew up in the Depression, and just, you know, they might have had a metal toy car as their toy. And now we're in the era of,
you got to have 150 kids, Hot Wheels.
Yeah, kids, toys,
and still not play with them.
Are packed to the gills, overflowing, and yet they still want another toy.
Mm-hmm.
So we've run the entire spectrum here in the last 100 years. And the fallout and the dangers of that are, you know, all too apparent. And Jonathan is going to give me his plan on how to combat this for you, for maybe others. Maybe we could use a little bit on our own kids. What's your plan?
Well, first, I just want to say, this is, I think, important. Certainly, I mean, let's get it straight. I'm not like chasing luxury items all the time and have my worth all tied up in what car we drive
or anything
like that.
Yes, you have set one part of materialism, I would say, is finding your identity or your value or your worth in what you own. which is always a losing battle because these are things that are going to be not just by the very nature of themselves, degrading, getting old, getting mm-hmm. broken. I mean, going out of style, etc. It's not a good place to attach your identity and your worth. And I would not say you're there.
Yes, yes, yes. And I wouldn't say you listening are probably, you're probably not there.
You might be,
and
but most people probably not.
That's not the only place where materialism lives in mm-hmm. our heart. Any sort of undue attachment to the things of this world can hold us back from focusing on those of the next and all the goodness that can come to us through that. Mm-hmm. So some of this, you know, it's not necessarily, you know, some, you know, giant maybe intervention for us. You know, we don't have to hit, you know, materialism rock bottom in order to do something about it. We can always be improving in this. Mm-hmm. And this is what I did. This was my plan.
I want to say one other thing about
Please.
You.
Please. Oh,
so, this is a good thing.
Okay, say another, a couple of them then.
Another way that materialism can manifest in someone's life is one of the fallouts that we'll often see is total financial ruin because of this inability to stop yourself from consuming and getting more things, stuff, etc. You, because we've been budgeting for 12 years now and our financial journey has been a huge part of our marriage and you've just kind of developed those boundaries. Would you say they're stronger than they were before we began to budget? Of your materialism can only go so far.
Yes, I mean, I understand. I mean, yeah.
You don't allow it to ruin
because it's not that strong
financially. In some ways.
Yeah,
obviously. No. Well, no. You found creative ways to get around that.
I do.
And we're going
to
talk about
that. But not to those extents. Yeah. I'd say when I was, so back when we were dating or before that, I went into debt. Now, I wouldn't say because I was chasing all sorts of crazy, nice things. I just didn't make a lot of money. And I didn't, what I did make, I didn't handle well. Anyway. Okay. But let's do this. This is what I wanted to do first, actually, was I want to just peel back the curtain a little bit on what it does look like in my life as an example.
Okay.
Let's get a little vulnerable.
Okay. Let's do it.
Okay. So this is where, at least
how
where
do
I see
you
it.
Think
I, this, I'm going to say it and then Amanda's going to tell you how it really is. So, and I'll say how maybe I see some of it, how things used to be. So this is back when we first started dating, I believe. Okay. Right? Like, boom.
Circa 2010.
Yes. iPhone 4 was announced. And because I didn't have a car when we were at Focus Missionary Summer Training, I asked, you had a car. So I asked for you if you could drive me and another buddy of mine to the AT&T store to buy our phones the day they came out. Yeah.
No recollection of this.
And this was like, I watched all the, you know, product announcement, you know, like press conference thingies that Apple puts on, and I'd watch them live and follow along, and I was like into it. Most of the time I never bought the stuff because I didn't have enough money, but I was into it. And when it did come time, like where I could, I was like, oh, I got to get this thing right away. So that was one thing. But now, in the past,
you got old phones.
I've got old phones. It's not the hottest thing.
Matured in that.
Yes. I don't feel this like, oh, I gotta need upgrade that all the time.
Yeah.
I got what I got. So there's some things like that. But it's still, I still like things. I still read. I don't watch the product announcements live because that's just a waste of time. But I do hop online when they're done to actually see what the stuff was. So I'm still interested in the stuff. I'll say that. I'll give you that.
If you had
unlimited amounts of money, I don't know if I'd upgrade every year.
Okay. You'd certainly upgrade, though.
There's a good chance. I'd get cooler stuff. I'd get a foldable phone, I think. Those are so crazy. Anyway, so there's some of that. There is, it has been a trait of mine since I was a kid.
Burns
a hole in my pocket. I would get my couple of bucks, whatever it was, of allowance, like on Friday, and then I'd go to like the convenience store, whatever it was, like that money's gone that weekend.
You have passed that on to at least one of our children.
And I'd say so. That still a thing I've got. I'll have my little. Sometimes I'll have a little savings goal or whatever for my my fun money, but I'll get to it and then I spend it. Or maybe sometimes I don't get to it because I found something else to spend it on the way. So there's that. I do. Yeah, there's certainly. I like things. Yeah. A gift, and then again, this all comes down. Some of this is love languages and mm-hmm. somewhat legitimate.
Yes.
But I definitely appreciate things and gifts.
Absolutely.
More than some of the other love languages.
Mm-hmm. I don't want a gift. Take me out. Take me somewhere. Hmm. Those usually have a bigger price tag.
Yeah, exactly. And it's gone. It's gone in a night.
I got the memory.
I want the stuff.
And the photos.
I'll forget about it. Give me the thing I can hold. So that's some of the, what were some other ways that I'm missing?
Oh, yeah. Gosh, just how I see it. Mm. You know, some of the things that you mentioned for sure.
Yeah.
I guess a couple of things that where I see this happen.
Ooh, I've got another one. I'll hold it because you might say it.
Is that sometimes we'll just kind of be talking about something our family needs or something our business needs. And it's kind of a conversation of like, that'd be nice in the future. That'd be great. Maybe in a couple of years. And it is really common, almost actually the system that we follow, that you come back to me, even though we might have a tremendous amount of work to do or other priorities in our life, you'll come back to me 2 hours later having completely researched, you know, this camera or this resort or whatever this is, and you've sleuthed the internet, found a bunch of deals. Now my eBay is blowing up
because I followed everything.
Followed a bunch of things, and you've got a bunch of things you're watching, and then you'll come to me usually like, hey, there's a deal here. I'm about to.
I got 2 minutes left.
John, that was a passing comment about a maybe need 7 years down the road.
No, it's not that. But I think either maybe we don't have the conversation or I just don't hear it of the this is in the future. It's like, I wish we had a new camera.
I know.
I'll find.
You want to fix.
I'll find
you
it.
You just want to fix.
I want to fix you the things. You want to fix. Yes.
But then your brain also.
Oh, I lock on.
When you
hear. I lock on.
If I even give the slightest the yes on like, maybe you could get a new computer next year. Oh, you've already got.
Wait, it. What? I thought you said next week.
You're immediate. You get locked and loaded. Now, if we could channel that maybe into a couple other areas. But that's, I noticed that trait. And now it's become comical for us in our marriage. Mm-hmm. And I just expect it now. And so then usually the
You keep your mouth shut until you really want it.
Well, either that or I'll just kind of come back at you with like,
hey,
let's look at the budget together. Mm-hmm. And then I'm not the killer of it.
No.
At the budget together and get to see like maybe there was something there. And cool, this is a great opportunity. But a lot of the times it's,
now
this
right
makes
now.
Things, it puts other things in a
pickle. It helps me see that. Not just like my stuff's getting, my ideas are getting crushed, but it reminds me of the priorities mm-hmm. that I and we have that are just more important than whatever the thing
is. So it's an easy delay.
Yes.
Second thing I would say I have noticed is that you have this insane creativity with getting stuff without having the funds to do so.
I find a way. I gotta scratch that itch.
It doesn't make sense to me. This is something you have put a pause on. And it's a good thing because I called you out on it a couple of years ago. But essentially, Jonathan found his way into the internet world where people would send
you dark alleys of social media.
People would send you free things if you did a review.
No, they send me the thing. I do the review. Then they refund me over PayPal.
Yes. And it works. Or it worked.
It works to a point.
I think that it's kind of started to fizzle. Yes. For sure. It had its heyday there. Mm-hmm.
There's one seemingly popular brand of consumer electronics.
I thought you were going to say.
Some of which we have in our home. who does, they are kicked off of Amazon.
Because they did this so much.
They didn't even need to. Their stuff was good. Anyway.
Anyway, you got into this dark internet alley. And it was every day for, it was like, hey, here's a insert here. Thing we would absolutely
garlic
never buy.
Garlic press.
Here, but then it was.
The garlic press.
Really?
Yes. Oh, it's one of the first. See?
That thing's decent.
They're not all useless.
It's not all useless.
Or broken and in the garbage.
Then it was a thing that you put on your rear view mirror.
A backup camera and front camera.
Anyway, it was just these things. They just kept showing up. And I would look at you and be like, where is this coming from? And then you kind of admitted like, oh, it's this free thing.
I'm floating
so
it.
So I was okay for a little bit because it wasn't costing us anything.
No.
And then eventually you got a stand-up desk that they didn't refund that you ended up sending back.
But I knew that one's... This might be, is probably too good to be true. So I'm not opening it until it all works out. And it didn't. So I sent it back.
But I think this is this is a good segue into what we want to accomplish in this episode.
Yes.
Because what I noticed in you was kind of an addiction.
Kind of.
It was. I think it was a flat out.
It might have been mild or temporable.
Sure, sure.
Right? I was a functioning.
There was. Addict. You were a functioning addict, filling my house up with stuff. You were hooked on the deal, finding it.
Deal hound.
Finding it,
core.
Sniffing it out, seeing that it was free, knowing you could get it, getting that reimbursement. And then doing it all over again every single time.
So much. It was dopamine.
Oh my gosh. The dopamine was sky high. And I just had to go to him and be like, look, we might legitimately need some of this stuff, but you got to cut this off. This is no good.
I appreciated that.
This is no good for you. You're distracted and preoccupied and God's calling you to the things right here, but you're off sniffing a deal. We got to put an end to this. So that was that conversation.
Yes.
I did it maybe a little more charitably than that.
And you know what else helped? Amazon revoking my ability to leave reviews.
Yes, we did. We have no... So we had people that legitimately, then, you know, friends who've published books and I've tried
to... No, here's what's crazy though.
Can't do
here's
it.
Here's what's crazy though. Somehow, there was some glitch in the system where Amazon added me to their official "we'll give you free stuff if you review it" program.
Oh, Amazon Vine or whatever.
For a week, and I didn't order anything. I figured this was weird, and I probably shouldn't be in there.
I did order something.
I ordered a few things, but I did not order like a $500 projector, for instance.
Oh,
because I thought if this doesn't work out, I'm not going to be on the hook for that. And then,
what about that camera I want?
I'll get back to you in 2 hours.
All right.
Here's my okay. So this is what I did.
It wasn't good for you.
This is what I did for this episode. First, I asked ChatGPT. I said, "How do I overcome materialism?" It was okay. Then I did a Google search, and I just want to read to you what the results were.
Yeah, you got
to
go.
So I did a Google search for materialism, Catholic. So I got Catholicism versus materialism. Materialism robs us of our humanity, warns Pope Francis. Modernity and the monster of materialism. Ask a priest, is materialism the same as idolatry? The invisible bonds of materialism.
Ooh. Ooh.
Letting go of materialism, grasping the reign of God, and so on. Warning against materialism. So it's not a good thing.
Mm. Sure.
As we've discussed. So I've taken some of this, and so there's, I have a few things. Some very practical.
Mm-hmm.
Some not as practical, but also very, very helpful.
Okay.
Okay. So this is in no particular order, but some of the things that I found that I thought would be helpful. Give things away.
Mm. As in junk you don't want anymore? Just getting clear.
Certainly that.
Sure.
Because there might be some folks listening who would have trouble even with that.
Trash and junk. Okay.
Okay. But yeah, sure, things you like. Hmm. Maybe the thing you love.
Hmm.
But things you like would be a nice enough start.
Or maybe something you like, but you have duplicates.
Oh, absolutely. So giving things away. And this is different. What was that?
Cords.
Hey, sometimes you need a couple cords.
I couldn't get you to give away a cord for your life. There were 19 of the same cable.
Sometimes you need them. Okay. But I think this is what's important here. So one, it helps you get rid of the stuff and some of the collateral damage of some materialism happening in your heart. But give it away.
Mm.
Don't sell it. Because if you sell it...
Now you got more money.
Now I got more bucks to get more stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm motivated to sell these things so I can get the new thing.
Mm.
Instead of get rid of the thing.
Yeah.
So, again, now selling the stuff you have can be a very good thing and can help you financially.
Sometimes
that's the move you need to make.
Yeah.
So if that is, don't go off and say, well, you said you can't sell anything. No, but this is it's a point I want you to remember in this is to give some things away.
Okay.
All right.
That sounds good.
Yeah. Here's one. Choose less nice things. So you could do this both ways that the sentence could be read. Less nice things, not as many, or things that aren't as nice.
So like you're going to go buy some new clothes and you choose two well-made things instead of seven okay things.
Sure. Or you go to the thrift store first instead of the mall.
Mm.
This is something, this is maybe a little bit different, but it's you're choosing what might be or might not be a less nice thing, but you are giving away some of you are refusing some of your choice in the matter. I talked about this a little bit ago with you. We have lost a lot of silverware. The children, mostly. Probably some of it was my fault.
I don't know. Mine,
we've
too.
Lost a lot of...
You're cleaning just, a dinner plate and the fork like, just goes in.
We have like three spoons left. And we're all fighting for them. So we needed to get more silverware. And I don't even know where you got it.
The consignment sale.
Great. So
we do a semi-annual consignment sale.
It's nice. I actually like it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I would never pick this particular pattern or whatever it's called, the shape of it and the look of it and all that stuff. I would never have chosen that if it was at the store. The stuff that we like picked out when we were getting married does not look like this stuff.
No,
but that's the stuff we lost.
Classier.
So we need a replacement. Yeah, it's a little more modern, whatever. But it gets the food from the plate to my mouth without getting my hands dirty.
And it's
certainly nice enough. It's not weird or crazy or anything.
Yeah.
And so we gave up the choice, our choice in the matter there of, well, what's the silverware going to look like? When really it's, well, where's the silverware? And what can we get? Because we just need some silverware. So that's a way, I think, another benefit of used things is someone already made some of those choices for you. Or like for a phone.
Like
I think buying a used phone, one, it just can be very financially wise, aside from all this other stuff. But also, somebody else picked out that phone. Somebody else picked how much memory it's going to have. Somebody else picked the color of the casing, etc. So there's a little
bit of chosen humility in that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, I was like, oh, you know, I probably wouldn't have gotten the blue one, but that's what this guy got, and that's what he's selling. So I guess I'm going to have a blue one. Mm-hmm. And so, again, these are little things, but it's these little surrenderings mm-hmm. of my choice, my want, my desire, my option, and being more receptive to what's available. Mm-hmm. And that, I think, can really help you a lot.
And again, nobody misquote us. We're not saying to do this for every choice until kingdom come. Mm-hmm. But if you are trying to actively overcome materialism and it has been leading you astray and had a hold on you, well, that is time to implement some mm-hmm. of these mm-hmm. things.
Or, you know, oh, I need a winter hat or whatever. Oh, you go to the thrift store. Well, you are limited to what those other people chose when they bought the hat.
Instead of going online.
Instead of going to the store. Oh, my goodness. The online, you get any hat ever. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay.
All right. Here's one that came up. So what I also did, relying on AI, maybe that's materialistic right there. I don't know. I copied all of those articles that I read you the titles of into this Google thing. And then I had Google give me some bullet points on all those. So this is
outsourced your research to the internet instead of
to a new, you know, shiny thing.
Instead of, you know, cracking.
No, I read them too. I read
the
them
great
too.
Works of Teresa. Anyway,
well, that's the difference between us. Here's one that it came up with. I thought, there we go. Think about death, because when you think of the final things, what's stuff?
When in doubt, get more.
Who cares what thing you had when you remember that you are going to die and you, just like all this stuff, is going to turn to dust. And what matters is how you lived and if you love the Lord and all of this.
Little memento mori.
Memento mori,
just
baby.
Sober you up.
Think about being dead. And you probably won't want as much
final
stuff.
Judgment.
Yes, final judgment.
There we go. That's pulling on a little St. Ignatius for you.
The final things.
There we go.
That's heavy stuff.
That's going to get your mind thinking right.
There we go. All right. Another thing. Pray more.
Pray
right there.
Day.
Pray all the time, baby. Because when we're praying, when we're in conversation with God, when we are adoring him, again, we're taking our mind and we're lifting our sight off of temporary, material, worldly things. Mm-hmm. And not that they're all bad or anything, but then we can shift our focus to the eternal and to the God who loves us with perfect love beyond everything. Again, what's a new iPhone compared to that?
Amen.
Nothing.
And when you're feeling that restlessness of needing to go buy something.
Our hearts are restless.
Until they rest in you, O Lord.
There
That's
we
Saint
go,
Augustine.
Iggy.
Iggy.
No, not Iggy. No, it's the wrong nickname.
Augie.
It's why nobody called him that.
I've heard people nicknamed that. But yeah, you're instead of going to this thing mm-hmm. to scratch the itch or feel excited,
release the pressure,
exactly.
Get rid of the stress, whatever it is.
You're going to the one who made you anyway and the only lasting peace and comfort and joy that you can actually have. So it's a much better choice to go to the Lord.
Absolutely.
Yes. All right. And save your purchasing for when you're not in a state of desperation, needing to scratch an itch, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, you're going to make a better purchase, too. Another one would be avoid comparison. I don't know if I was in a lot of material comparison in the past, but it is something you can easily fall into. Oh, they've got the newer version of our car. Oh, he's got the new phone. Like, I don't...
Classic, keep it
I don't desire an Apple Watch. One, because I don't have an iPhone. So it'd be useless. But I notice
when someone has one,
when somebody's got that, like, the stupidly expensive big one with the extra button that came out last year. I notice
it. I've never noticed an iPhone or an iWatch.
Because it's like
on anybody.
Apple Watch. Because because it's big, it looks different anyway. But I'm like, oh, ooh, that guy's got the watch. Saw one last week.
I can't believe that you.
So I notice it. I don't even want one, but I'm noticing these things. I'm thinking, oh, a little Fitbit here. Although I love this watch, my $50 eBay watch. I love it. But there's still a little something that happens there. And I think that can end up with bigger things and maybe deeper, weightier things than just some watch or whatever. Mm-hmm. Though, you know, house, car, job, etc. Those things that we like to think say more about us than they actually do.
Mm-hmm. Now I'm not surprised. You notice every detail.
It's more about all the details.
You notice all the details. So now I'm not surprised that you notice the watch. You'd notice many other things.
I notice so many details.
Yes, you do. Mm-hmm. So it might not be rooted in materialism.
No.
Or solely.
So no,
I would say that this avoiding comparison, though, it's, again, I mentioned it earlier, but just the keeping up with the Joneses, that's huge. I wonder, I don't know, I've not had this conversation with enough men to know, but I know that basically every woman I've ever talked to, even in my own experience as a woman, this is one of the ways the enemy will come after women. I don't know if it's as prevalent among men.
It's not non-existent, but it's nowhere near as big a deal.
And I don't know. Sometimes with women, it can be materialistic. I would say oftentimes it's more the intangibles. Mm. It's their relationships. It's the relationship they have with their spouse. It's the squad, if they have one or if they don't. It's the amount of children.
That's a friend group
that they're putting around them.
Squad.
Yeah, like Taylor Swift.
I don't know.
Squad goals. It's, you know, her involvement, it's her work, you know, you're kind of comparing against those things, not necessarily what she's driving or what she's wearing, but that certainly absolutely happens. I wonder if there is comparison going on more for men. I could see it being rooted more in stuff. And how men might fall into a little bit more of this materialistic comparison instead of that emotional and relational one.
Interesting.
Because just the differences between men and women, you know, you can, as a man, maybe show how you're doing by your status symbols, right? The trophy wife, the big house, the SUV.
Sure. I think, like, another layer of it would be
the boat.
Again, it's maybe the stuff, some of the other more intangible things. But I forget where I heard this the first time, but about, I don't know what it was, but it was like a guy, what a man really wants. He just wants, I'd say, like, his wife to like him. And so it's like, oh, well, if I had that, then if I had those tools, I could do that project and she would love that and I would be the man. Things like that. So, but it's still the stuff.
Sure.
But there's maybe a little more to it than that. All right.
I think I seated you and told you that because now I'm remembering.
No, but where was that from?
I don't remember.
Because when I heard, I go, that's it.
I don't know.
It was almost like a comedian or something.
I don't remember. Yeah, but it was interesting.
But that is true. That's absolutely
true. You know, I think it was Dr. John Deloney.
Oh, is that what it was?
I want to say it was a post from him.
But that's so, it's true. That's all we want.
Yeah. All you want.
Is it that much to ask? okay, and then the last one is, and I mentioned this at the beginning, and what really made this come to mind was the homily at Mass, either this weekend or the one before, and Father mentioned...
This weekend was about reprimands and rebukings, so maybe the weekend prior.
I'm not sure, but it was, he's talking about, you know, we're fish in the tank of this world and it affects us just by being here.
Mm.
That was 2 weeks ago. And so the last thing to do is to stop and reflect on how my worldview is being shaped, what I'm doing or not doing that contributes to that shaping, and then determine what I can do to make adjustments. Mm. So, I'm spending too much time looking at the tech news online or whatever it is, or I'm not spending enough time in prayer, whatever those things might be. But what are the ways that you've arrived at this place, intentionally and unintentionally? And now let's get intentional about how can we change some of those things to, again, without us even thinking about it, shape us in a better way.
Hmm. Very good. Think about
it. That was a little deeper than you thought I could go, wasn't it?
No, I think you're deep. No. What drew me to you was, remember the first time I saw you capable of being deep.
Ah, yes, it only took 3 years.
You've got a deep side. I know that. This would have not happened if you had no depth. No, I think that's a really good plan.
Thank you.
And I'm very proud of you and the steps that you put in there into ChatGPT.
The proof's in the pudding. We'll the see, though. The proof's in the pudding.
Maybe we need a follow-up episode. Ooh. Ooh. 1 year from now, has Jonathan swam or sunk?
But I encourage you, hopefully some of this, especially if some of the stuff at the beginning rang true to you and sounded familiar, that some of these things in my plan can also be helpful for you. We'd love to hear from you. If you're on Spotify, you can like add a comment about this show. Wherever you are, you can click the link in the show notes and send us a voice message. Mm-hmm. Those are the best. And if you like the show, please just tell a couple people about it. Say, hey,
give us a review.
I was listening to this. You should listen to this podcast, this Catholic Money Show. Here's a link. That would be fantastic. Mm-hmm. That directly helps people find us and have a bigger impact on the world, and through people like you who care enough to share it with their friends. So thank you very much.
And depending on when you're listening to this episode, ooh, I just want to do a little plug here. We are going to be leading a live cohort through our Catholic Money course this fall.
That's right.
So if you have always wanted to dive in and learn how to create a budget, how to get out of debt, how to save money, how to invest morally, how to be a generous giver, how to think about money from a Catholic perspective, this is your chance to dive in, mm-hmm, and actually have it be facilitated live. So Jonathan's going to be leading the class at our parish, mm-hmm, and we're going to be live streaming it during that time, 8 o'clock on Wednesday nights for 8 weeks.
Central time,
starting on September 27th.
Yep.
So if you join our WalletWin Academy between now and then, you get a chance to join into this live cohort,
yeah,
and reap those benefits of accountability and just being able to ask questions and interact with other people who are also going through the class.
Yeah, it'll be really cool.
Please join us. Mm-hmm. You can head on over to WalletWin.com and get more information, and we hope to see you there.
I really do. We'll see you there, hopefully inside the class or next time on the Catholic Money Show. Thanks for listening.
Bye for now.
Thanks for joining us today. You can learn more about this show and the WalletWin program at walletwin.com.
Music in this episode's from Dylan Gardner. Listen to his new album, Almost Real, on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your music. See you next week.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This podcast is part of the Spoke Street Network. For more great podcasts, visit SpokeStreet.com.